Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. Getting some good numbers, so thanks for everyone that's listening. Just a reminder, if you want to hear the full show, get the pre-show stuff, you can go on YouTube Tuesday nights at 9, check out the live feed, get the full stream there. I think you have to watch it to get it at that time, and it will help build the show. So I appreciate anyone that's been checking that out. And make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast app to get the downloads. We're in the middle of off season, so I really don't have anything, but I want to get into the biggest story that broke. That's kind of unbelievable to me, but the Arena Football League is starting to fall apart. And I know you sent me this, Matt. Have you been watching any of the arena games?
I'll be honest. I had heard that they were trying to reboot it. And with the backing from NFL Network, I thought, oh, I'll have to tune in. And then it just time got away from me. Like, never really heard anything about it. It would be like randomly seeing a highlight clip here or there. I'm like, oh yeah, there's the Arena League's on, but like never really saw anything consistent. And now I guess with all the news coming out now, it totally makes sense because the league's just falling apart. They're not paying players. They're sending them to games with a one-way ticket and leaving them stranded places. I mean, it's an absolute debacle.
So I had a high school coach that played arena football, and it was kind of just like a hobby, right? Because they're not paying you enough to really do your thing. But I remember him saying, like, yeah, if you wanted to play, you could probably play. And I was like, that's why I was joking with you. Like I got to get my tryout in. But you kind of have to live near a team because, like you're saying, you work out. Most people work a job, and then they're practicing, like, a couple nights a week. So he's able to, like, play, work a job, and coach high school football because the schedule's made where for arena football, I think, I don't know what iteration this would have been 20 years ago or whatever, but he was playing primarily, I think, on Saturdays. And I think he even won an award for being, like, one of the best linemen or whatever. And so, because you're only playing a couple people at a time, right? So, yeah. That's why I always thought, like, it would be, because, like, a lot of people are like, yeah, I play my church softball league. It's like, no, I play a professional football for the Arena League. Because, like, people could probably play just because they need bodies. Right, they're not gonna not play you if you actually make the team. But I did look it up once, and there were like no teams down here, at least near me in North Carolina. And I thought that'd have been nice. It'd been better than like minor league baseball. You have to actually be in a system, sign with a team, and like go through all that. With arena football, you could kind of make your own deal. And, like, I really don't need the money. I just kind of want to stay in shape, hit somebody. Hopefully. I was wondering, like, what would happen if a player got injured, because, like, with the NFL backing, that's the one thing where it's like, all right, you get a pretty good health coverage, but if you didn't have health from your job and you were just like between jobs and playing in arena football, I doubt the league would cover it. Like, if you broke your leg or something in the game, I don't know how that would be covered. But I guess the team owners are like, they put their money in, they bought the team, they paid for all the equipment. Then there were reports that they never received the commitment from the league, which is insane to me, because I would have thought that the arena football was just a bunch of owners that were kind of like businessmen that had, like, were in a cash type business where they could throw money at this as kind of like their advertising. Right, you come in, and the arena football is pretty much just about advertising other local businesses, kind of like I've talked about with NIL. So the owners, I would have thought, would have been the ones to get all the equipment together. Like, maybe they have a head that kind of helps with that type of thing.
Yeah.
But they have to be involved. Like, you can't be, oh yeah, we're owning, I'm just throwing money at this guy. He hasn't shown up. I never met him. And we haven't got our footballs or our jerseys or anything. But I'm waiting. Like, my team should be playing on Saturday. So, like, of course, you already throw the money in. You're better off just folding, like, I think Iowa and maybe some other teams are threatened to do or have already done. Because as the owner, you're like a businessman. You already lost some money. You're going to have to write it off. Why would you try to dig yourself any deeper, especially if the NFL Network decides that they're not going to show your games? And I assume that's some type of personnel type issue. Because, I mean, I've seen some of the ESPN type streams of college games where it's like, who's running this feed? You could give me whatever for the camera, like $2,000 if that, that you need for a better quality camera than some of the colleges have on these ESPN feeds. And I'm always wondering, like, how is a guy's family video on their phone? Or, like, their kid's video that they're posting on Facebook from, like, a random T-ball game better than, like, a Big Ten softball game. Like, how insane is that? And that's kind of where I bet the issue with the arena football is, if they're not getting the equipment, then they're sure as hell not able to, you know, pay for the technical side to get the feed up and running. Because that was one of the things with the ACC Network, if you remember. That was the excuse for some of the teams. Team like NC State, we can't have an ACC Network for 3 years because it's going to take us that long to buy the equipment and get it set up. When in reality, it really wouldn't have to take that long, especially if they wanted something up right now, because it's a university. They have some type, especially if they have a broadcasting school, they have some type of studio on campus for learning. Otherwise, what are their students doing? Like, oh, UNC has a great J school. Yeah, what do they do for, like, news practice? Like, oh, no, they just pretend in their dorms. We can't have them do, like, a real fake coverage.
They just stand in front of their bathroom mirror.
That's one of their fake classes that they had together. They're like, no, it wasn't just for athletes. Anyone could take a fake class here. Come on in. I was like, I didn't have that luxury. Damn. But that's my concern with some of the AFL news coming out. It's like, how much of it are they blaming on this mythical owner of the league or whatever, the person in charge, the commissioner? But, like, is the commissioner the guy that's buying this stuff?
Well, did you see the Philadelphia story?
I have one up here. Go ahead. I'll see if it's the same.
Because it was like the Philadelphia team, like, disbanded or broke up, I believe. And then because there was a game that week, they brought in, like, another team, or, like, just found people to fill out the jerseys and, like, to fill out the roster and tried to play the game and get through it. But it was, like, it was such a terrible outing that then the team ended up folding a second time.
Well, I saw one thing. I don't know where the player was, but one of the players that spoke said that they had moved to Virginia. I don't know if Virginia had a team. Because they were seriously looking. Or maybe they moved from Virginia. He might have played at Richmond. But he was betting on himself to, like, actually do good here enough to try to get, like, a UFL offer and then possibly an NFL invite. But when he got there, they, like, put him up in a Super 8, and the whole time there's, like, drugs and prostitution going on outside, and the owner came out and evicted him in the morning, saying that the team never actually paid his bill. So, like, they're all like, all right. And there was, like, no, like I said, the no equipment thing, getting kicked out of a motel, and some other things where the luggage was kind of taken from them and they weren't, like, giving it back, because, like, from the travel side of things with the team, because there was, like, a big miscommunication with either the travel company, or maybe the travel company didn't even get paid and they were just like, you know, we're not sitting out here waiting, we're just going back and we're just taking all the stuff with us. Because that would be the one thing that you're not 100% sure of, like, how far is a player going to go Because like I said, this is a part-time job for a lot of these guys. You're not making enough for living. If you have a family, I think the one guy that spoke up about getting stuff stolen from him, you know, he had a wife and a kid. And he's like, we don't need this. Like, he's a family guy. He's like doing it just to see if he can compete still. And they're probably fresh out of college, a lot of them.
But you look at like the Kurt Warner type story, and if the league is structured in a way that you can actually put the teams through the schedule and coordinate all those logistics, like, it's a great opportunity to get more people exposure to possibly earn a roster spot, you know, in the NFL, in Europe, in England, in Australia, apparently, where there's leagues and setups and stuff.
And see, that's what would be cool. Because I would bet even if you played D2 and you wanted to keep playing, there would be opportunities for you to kind of go overseas and start like a coaching player development type role where you could be a player coach like LeBron. You know how great he is with like interactions with players and things like that. So like having a career like that, you could easily have in the Arena Football League, because like an older guy like myself now, it's like you're going up. There's a bunch of young kids here. Sure, they can run for days, but what's going to happen when they can't afford to live anywhere and they have to go home with their mom? They can't be on the team and live in a separate state.
Never had to live off a rotisserie chicken for a month.
Yeah, they don't know how hard it is out there. Getting hit every day, people not having the right equipment. It's like, son, I own my own gear. Not really. But if you needed to, you could get your own gear. And then you wouldn't have to worry about the equipment thing. You're just showing up. You're like, coach, where's my jersey? And then you just wear one of the Tom Brady jerseys you have in your closet. And just pretend that's you, right? You dress the part, you're going to play the part. Which, speaking of, did you watch a Tom Brady roast?
I saw the majority of it, I think.
I just saw clips. I've never been one to sit down and watch a roast, like with the jokes or whatever. But some of them I saw people were like saying that like Robert Kraft was off limits. And was it the one guy made a joke and Tom Brady shut him down?
Yeah.
And I was like, no more of that. But I'm like, yeah, he probably didn't sign up for it, right? I mean, I guess if he's there, he signed up for it. But a lot of the people like that were there, I had no idea who they were. Comedians or otherwise, like in the media type.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I saw so many clips that it was like, are there any aspects of this show that wasn't just segmented and posted online?
I know. Well, pretty much that's kind of how they get the hype, because they did that with the Chappelle special too. Remember? And it's so controversial.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you can't do that on the old Netflix anymore. But I feel like I saw so many, even like sports writers were like hyping it up and talking about it. It's like the guy doesn't even play anymore. Like, why are the local sportscasters so into the Tom Brady roast? I don't understand it.
But I tell you what, for what it's worth, I mean, there was definitely no emotional support people there, because they were going after everyone of every race, color, gender, creed. They went after everyone.
Well, see, that's how the roast used to be. Jerry Seinfeld said that you can't even get away with that now. He's been crying. Well, he wasn't invited. That's why he was upset. But yeah, Tom, they talked about him coming back to play after. And then J.J. Watt, did you see that he's interested in coming back to play? But not really. But only if they need him. But that was basically a wink, wink, like, hey, if we make the playoffs and you need a guy, please call me. I want to play in the playoffs. Right?
That's a brilliant move.
Because he looked at it and he was like, they were close last year. They should be building on that.
I can only play maybe 3 or 4 games.
In the playoffs. January is my best. That's when I'm free. January, February. Did you see they might add another week? because they're thinking of trying to make the Super Bowl line up with President's Day. And they're like, yeah, people get that off. I'm like, not most people. Like,
hey, I'm okay with that.
I know, it'd be just teachers in school, right? Normal.
And if there's anyone that needs a break, it's teachers in school.
And they're like, yeah, you can go get drunk and watch the game, the Super Bowl, but then you won't have to go to work tomorrow, the 5% of people that don't have work that day.
Well, see, if they did it that way and the kids are off school, a lot of parents will be off.
It might make traveling to the game harder, because that's a hard travel day, President's Day. A lot of people travel to where George Washington cut that tree down. But, like, no one is going to really be affected, I don't think. It was almost like they just want an extra week for no reason. Goodell's like, yeah, we'll add that sooner. But not that soon. I don't know when we'll do that. But that was his plan. Like, he hinted at it to get feedback. But they did say that if he did that, there would be a max of 2 preseason games. And they were looking at a way to try to get rid of preseason. And I was like, that would be the best thing ever. Nothing's worse than following like ESPN or some like sports network in the summer, when all it is not even preseason basketball, but like summer league basketball. Like, no one even cares about the regular NBA season. They don't care about summer league NBA, right? Like, who are these highlights for? You can't just show me. I don't understand how they can't just shift into baseball or like a live sport, NASCAR. I feel like NASCAR hasn't been getting as many highlights shown these days. But the NBA thing I bring up, because like we talk about the NFL Network dropping the AFL, the NBA TV rights are up. They want a triple increase in revenue. And I saw people like from the NBA side saying, like, the league's healthy, look at our revenue. That's because ESPN overpaid for the TV rights last time. Most of the revenue is coming from TV rights, because it's billions of dollars a year. You're not coming from people in the seats. And even they were complaining about it, crying, saying that their arenas are smaller. That's why football gets more in-person, like additional funds, not just from TV. And that's why they make more per team or whatever. It's like, and even baseball, because baseball's pretty healthy just because of the amount of games and the revenue they get from the stadiums, which makes sense. Basketball, people don't casually want to drive in the cold to a city, park, and have to walk in like ice and snow to go sit in an arena and have some DJ blasting hype up tunes at you for 2 hours, right? Like, make some noise, burp, burp, burp. Like, I've been to NBA games, and it's comical to me because it's like a minor league game. That's what it feels like. Have you ever been to an NBA game?
No.
I don't know. I haven't been to a playoff game, but the regular season is like it's like minor league baseball, which minor league baseball is fun if the weather's nice and you're drinking beer or something. There's nothing fun about an NBA game regular season. People can call me crazy or whatever, but if you go to, I've been to all the major sports, hockey, football, baseball. Football's number one. Hockey's pretty good, but it has the same issues where it's like cold, games are at night, you have the parking and stuff. Baseball is a lot of fun, especially if you can get down low, because you can actually yell at the players, and for a lot of times they will respond to you. Like, you can actually heckle and affect the game. That's how I assume happened when Jose Canseco had that home run like hit off his head or whatever. He's running out to the outfield. I bet the guy's like, you got it, champ, or something, that distracted him. Because I've had fun with players, like even in minor league games, you can just sit there and talk to the player, like read their bio to them, like really get in their head, ask if they still live with their parents. What are you guys doing? Like, come on. You're barely hitting 100 here, buddy. Have you been looking at other careers? And then like you really get into their heads. Then they can hear you 100%. For baseball, they can hear you. They pretend they might not be able to, because like even Pittsburgh, like you're up and in like right field there, Is that the Riverside, I think? You can get right up on that and you can just yell right in the bullpen. And there are a bunch of dudes that are probably barely hanging on. So I highly recommend baseball. For NBA, you could probably do that if you got like courtside. But I've noticed that like the Major League Baseball, when it's empty, you can kind of move down. I never really got in trouble like moving around seats. Basketball, the ushers were just like always there. And it's like, is this your job? To prevent people from moving down. I think hockey has kind of the same issue. But I think it's kind of like the indoor, smaller arena. And you can see it on TV that the stadiums are empty. The only ones that can kind of hide it is the NFL if they're doing like a Miami Hurricanes where they're like zoomed in on the field. And they never show above the fold. And if they do, it's like a tarp that has a team logo. You're like, how did that get there? But I don't know how the NBA, they could get their money, they could get their revenue, but with the point of them not getting the TV viewers, I don't know how a company, even if it's like Apple or someone that only does streaming, I don't know how they're going to get their money back to make it worthwhile for the second contract. I feel like this is the Pac-12 pre-death spiral. Right? Where the numbers, the revenue's up because of TV deals, but everything else is down for the NBA. Caitlin Clark's getting better numbers than what the NBA put together while she was in college. I don't know the WNBA numbers, right? How they can ask a network and say, hey, give us $3 billion and have them actually give it to them? Then it's on the network. I feel like the network then, because HBO right now, they're in bad sorts because they overpaid for the NBA and they try to put on the streaming, but the streaming doesn't really make money because they're overpaying for the NBA and people aren't watching it. So they're kind of in a catch-22 where if they cut the NBA, are people really going to, like the hardcore people that are paying for HBO, are they still going to pay for HBO? Because they don't have the frequency where they're putting out shows all the time. Because I know a lot of people that just paid for the HBO streaming just for like the new Game of Thrones season. And the way they did it with like only whatever, 8 episodes or whatever at the time, that's going to be something that it's hard for them to maintain. And so having like an NBA where you can say like, well, if you keep paying year round, we have NBA content year round. And maybe that drives some people in. NBC's been doing it, buying Big Ten, buying Premier League, buying racing. They said that they've been interested in the NBA. I'm kind of waiting to see how that shakes out. Cause like, does that hurt Big Ten basketball streams or anything? Or is like the Big Ten network going to stay around with Fox and like having some things hidden so it won't really affect them? I don't know. But those are the big things that not only are going to affect football, but if the NBA starts to fall off, you're going to see a ripple effect where like the NFL network, does that really exist anymore? Are people going to keep watching it, or is the NFL just going to start selling all those NFL network games to other networks like Prime? Doesn't Prime do it like Thursday night games or whatever now?
Yeah.
ESPN, they're losing money. They're in a bad ESPN or the bad NBA contract. I really don't see how they renew. Right? I don't see how you can lose 10 million of your subscribers and then pay more for NBA rights.
Andrew, you're not even factoring in college football because there was a steady decline. I saw a thing today that there was a steady decline in the subscription numbers from November to now. I mean, they've lost like 23%. Like their subscribers are down like 23%. It's like that same time frame where they had their run of the college football playoffs and mocking these different scenarios out. And there's just a steady downturn in their their viewership, not to mention with the ongoing ACC stuff, you have Florida State and Clemson that are filing suit to get out. So ESPN was really hanging their hat on keeping the ACC, Florida State, and Clemson in on the cheap. And now if they're going to potentially leave, what's their rationale for keeping the ACC? Or what does that number even look like? Because two of their biggest pieces are gone. And now how do you you're trying to renegotiate in a TV market that has the Big Ten super group and the SEC super group. You're going to be left completely out.
I've been saying this the whole time. I think the SEC is going to be hurting. Because if the NBA, if ESPN pays for the NBA, how are they going to pay then for the SEC next time? Right? Because the NBA is coming up first and they want a long-term deal. So ESPN might be locked into that.
Or maybe you just take the NBA deal and just say, screw it, kick rocks.
Well, that's what we're going to find out if that's what they do. Because like that's going to be the thing where the next SEC deal, everyone keeps saying, oh, they're going to make more money than the Big Ten. They're going to make more money. But it's like, where are they making this money from? People don't even watch it like the norm, like the other teams as is. They're not worth it. CBS even told them, just go. We'll call your bluff. We don't care. Like, it's a regional network. The SEC is so regionalized that you can't tell me it's a like they don't have like really any national brands other than Texas and Alabama now. Even Georgia, I would be hard pressed. Like if you went to California, I doubt you'd see a bunch of Georgia fans there. Like, I just don't think you would. So like, what national teams does the SEC have that's going to drive in that viewership? Because even you brought up Florida State and Clemson. If they go to the SEC, they might just be jumping on another sinking ship anyway in a couple years, depending on how this NBA thing plays out. Because Disney's bleeding money. They own ESPN. They could sell ESPN off. But like, Bally Sports just went out of business or whatever. They were having carriage issues. I don't know if they're back. That was a bunch of regional like baseball type things. I just talked about HBO Max and the TNT and TBS. They don't know if they're going to be able to pay for the NBA because they're not getting the return on it. That's basically what it is. The NBA is trying to twist it. ESPN can't pay for it. And if they do, then what else are they going to get? Like, they're going to have to cut something. Maybe it is the ACC. But the ACC is cheap content that people do watch. Do you want a bunch of cheap content that people might tune in for like a million or so? Or do you want to pay way more for the SEC where, like, if it's not a primetime game, instead of 1 million, you're getting 3 million? But it might be 300% cheaper or whatever. It might be like 800% cheaper just to keep the ACC and get semi-decent numbers if they can keep some of the other schools around. And yeah, at some point, there's going to be a breaking point where if the Big Ten, Michigan wins the national championship, the current national champs, if Ohio State, they're preseason number one from what I've seen, if they win it this year, that's 2 years in a row that the SEC hasn't won. A lot of money is coming into the Big Ten now with NIL deals. How do you know the SEC is going to bounce back? Nick Saban's gone. It seems like it's Georgia or bust. What if Georgia or bust becomes like Clemson for the ACC? Where if they have a downturn and they're not getting to the playoffs and not having success and not winning at all, does the luster kind of wear off on them? And then the Big Ten just starts taking it over. Because at some point with the NIL, players want to get paid. They're going to go to the conference that offers them the most money. You're not going to go to Ole Miss if Ohio State's calling you, right? That's why Ohio State right now, they're struggling with, because Miami keeps overpaying for some of their guys. And it's like, how long can Miami do this? I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing how that plays out. Because like, if Miami can keep paying and keep paying, maybe it's more of like a pay-to-play. Or whatever, ESPN starts broadcasting Canes games because they get good. And they stop showing some of the SEC numbers. Then is it worth it to pay the ACC a little bit more and drop that SEC number the next time? Possibly. The only reason that the ESPN was paying for the SEC is because they were winning so many championships. If that starts to dry up, and I'm not saying last year was a trend, that could have just been a Harbaugh thing, as probably one of the best coaches in the country last year, and in all of football, even in the NFL.
Because best coaches, he spent half the season being suspended. He might as well have been coaching like me and you, just watching the games from home, hanging out. The hell are you talking about?
Didn't you see the recon data? He had every team signed. He was using Apple Watches to communicate from his house. He's a busy man.
They didn't need sideline communication. They were just wearing it on their wrist.
Yeah, didn't you see everyone have those big play call sheets, the quarterback bands? Like Harbaugh had three of them on in his room. He's typing stuff on his watch, sending plays in. 75L. And then they're like, they got it. Run the ball again against Penn State. Just keep running it. But that's like, where can that success be maintained? And holy hell, if like an SMU, already paying their own way into the ACC, if they start taking Texas recruits, that'll just make me laugh, right? Because Texas right now is the team that could save the SEC. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. They're throwing money around. They were close last year. They are the national brand of the SEC. They're bigger than Bama by far. Bama's good because they have the football history, but I would put Texas ahead of them, and then Bama's right there, number two. Texas just doesn't win. They're like the Michigan of the Big 12 or whatever. And so they were relying on Oklahoma to carry it. Oklahoma hasn't been winning. They lost Lincoln Riley. Maybe Lincoln Riley is the issue because USC hasn't been winning with him. He's won like what? Absolutely nothing? Since they got him? A Heisman? I don't think you can give that to the coach. Maybe he's the hype man though. Him and Snoop Dogg down there. But that's my thoughts on the whole thing. If the NBA contract goes through, you're going to see a trickle-down effect where college football is directly impacted. And everyone that's crying and saying that the NBA should get picked up, if you're a college football fan, you're going to be regretting it. You're going to be regretting it. Because at the end of the day, money is going to talk. And maybe they're just going to end up pushing it because ESPN was behind the realignments anyway. If they start to bleed money and they have the SEC, you're going to see a push towards like the major super conferences, or at least a big two. Because they're going to want to consolidate all their little ones. And they've already lost, what, the Big 12 for the most part. They've lost the Pac-12 because they died. If they lose the ACC and just focus on the SEC, then you're basically at a big two right there. They're not going to keep paying for these teams if it's not financially worth it. Especially if they run out of money on the NBA. But I have been keeping an eye a little bit on the playoffs to see how the Celtics do. I haven't been following the Celtics as much as I used to do. Just because I can't take the flopping, dude. I tried to watch the controversial ending of the Knicks game. And it was dudes just putting on a show. I don't understand how people can say, like, soccer's the worst for flopping. NBA is 100 times worse now. You have guys that get touched and they're flying around. There was like a screen and the guy barely moved. They reviewed it and said it was the right call. But the guy getting hit looked like he was shot. He went flying. And you know he's faking it. And it's like, I've heard it. Someone told me that it's like the WWE, where it's like the outcome might not be predetermined, but they're out there acting enough that it's basically just becoming like a WWE. And I saw, like, I keep seeing WWE highlights and I'm like, I just don't care anymore. Like, as a kid, maybe, right, to watch wrestling. And I know the guys are out there doing stunts, but they're not doing anything new. The same stunts that they did in the 90s are they're still doing today. There's like no increase, right? Because like when wrestling back in like the 70s, everyone had like a stick and they were doing like their own thing. And then like in the 90s, they brought like the WCW, where everyone's like doing backflips and like crazy chair stuff, right?
Yep.
There's been no evolution. It's the exact same, just in high definition. Like, there's no growth other than now there's like YouTubers on there and stuff. And I just don't get it. Maybe I'm getting old, dude. That's how I feel like with the NBA. You get celebrities at the games. They're only there. They can't be into the game because it's boring as shit. And some of the guys aren't even playing. Now they're saying that they might put a cap on how many games you can rest as a player and try to get more people, because people are paying their tickets, coming to a game, and like three of the best players sit out and they're pissed. And they're asking for refunds and stuff. And so the NBA is like, well, and people are like, well, I'm used to baseball. Baseball, the guys play most of the time. And if they're not going to play, they'll be on like the IR, not like a day scratch. Like, oh, it's a healthy scratch or whatever. He needs a rest day. Like, no, nah, you tell me before I buy my ticket, buddy. Then I know if I'm going to see my guy play. But that's my rant. Some of the broadcasting stuff. Charles Barkley is the best thing about it. We talked about him, I think, last week. That's the best. That's the only reason to watch. He's like a comedian right there. Jerry Seinfeld should learn a few things. But
wow, you're going to have Jerry Seinfeld calling in the show.
We'll see. He might have bigger clout than Tony Dungy. That would be funny if Seinfeld did call in. He has a lot of stuff going on these days, though. The NHL, man, I've been watching the Hurricanes. They're about to choke. They're in overtime. Waiting for them just to blow it and go down 0-2 to the Rangers, even though they're on the road. But I was hoping that they could steal one, or at least as the favorite, you know, keep winning. But they let me know that they have tickets available soon. They sent me an email. Or, tickets available. I'm like, thanks, guys. That's just what I need. Thanks for letting me know. I look at them. It's like the entire bottom is like season ticket holders that are all like verified resale, where people are just trying to get their money back. And it's like, if you bought season tickets and I had it down low, I would want to go to the playoff games. I wouldn't just want to sell them all. It's like when someone tells me like, hey, I got West Virginia season tickets. Like, can you go to the games? Like, well, I got to sell the Penn State ticket to, you know, get my money back. I'll probably go watch them play like Charleston. It's like, you're going to go to the worst game? Why even buy them? Right? That's like with the Michigan games, like I had student tickets, there would always, people would always be like trying to sell the biggest games. I'm like, those are the only games I want to go to. Right? I get that you're trying to make some money, but come on, guys. This is a once in a lifetime thing. If you have student tickets, like, you can't get student tickets unless you're just going to be a career student, but that's not worth it. So that's kind of all I had for the show today. It's probably going to be a short show. You have anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's about it.
I know it's the off season. I was hoping I did have the UFL type thing where the UFL ratings, I forgot to bring this up when my TV ratings update with the NBA stuff got me all fired up, but the UFL, their week six numbers, they had a game go over 1 million viewers, the DC game. And all four games are really close. And that's week six. The season, I think, is 10 weeks. So if you're able to get around 1 million viewers, that's better than a lot of baseball. That's better than a lot of the NBA games. I know they're on like the major networks or whatever. But I'm wondering how strong their numbers are going to be as they close the season. It looks like there's a pretty clear divide. I think DC is the only team battling for a playoff spot. They're right there as like the first team out, and they're 3-3 right now. So if they can go through and win a few games and make the playoffs, or at least down the stretch, I'm wondering if that's the team that people are going to kind of zone in on. You can kind of watch the best teams, but like, if you don't know the league, then it's usually the drama type teams, right? I think we'll see that with college football. As they expand the playoffs, the top seeded teams, like last year, you had Michigan and Ohio State playing. Whoever lost that game was eliminated. This year, that might not be the case. That game might not matter as much. So I'm curious to see if both teams are highly ranked again, how far the numbers drop. Because at that point of the season, they're probably both, they might both be already guaranteed a spot, right? Because what were they like last year, 2 and 3 or something like that? So like if they're ranked that high, it doesn't matter who loses, they're in, right? And they just don't have to play the championship game, where the viewers probably drop for that one, but they might not drop for like some random 12 seed Texas A&M game, right? Where when they choke, inevitably, they're out of the playoffs. People will be tuning in for weirder games. And that's what I want to see from the UFL. Are the numbers going to stay strong? Is it compelling enough for people to tune in and actually watch down the stretch? But yeah, anything else you want to talk about? Anything you have for the final bell? No, I probably haven't even said that in a while.
We had a good last week. We had our youth camp Wednesday and Thursday, so that was pretty exciting to have close to 80 kindergartners through fifth graders getting out for football in the spring and getting a little bit of exposure to sports.
Nice. Was the weather good for that?
Oh my goodness, yeah. It was probably like one of the warmer days of the spring for us, and now it was like as soon as it ended, it was like, and now we're gonna torrential monsoon for the rest of the weekend.
I needed the rain though. I've been trying to put stuff down to like grow my grass better, and it's like hasn't been raining. So I have just like dirt spots. I'm like, come on, let's get some rain going. Like the spring showers I felt like didn't come this year. Maybe they'll pick back up. Because it's like almost looking good. And I'm like, we just need a little bit more than just one day. Or whatever. The only other thing I had was that Michigan's new basketball coach is bringing in 2 7-footers. And it made me laugh because like it's like a Purdue type thing. Where if you just have the biggest guys and you put them both on the court, what are other teams going to do? There's only like, what, 5 7-footers? Not that many floating around.
So well, it's the San Antonio Spurs from the early 2000s.
So if you're able to get both 7-footers, because I saw his press conference today, it was like, everyone was like, we only thought you'd be able to get one, because how are you promising them the minutes? He was like, I'll just do like 20 and 15 or whatever it was, whatever his split was. He's like, and we'll adjust it from there. But I was like, that's a great strategy. Just bring it in 7-footers, rotate them. Or if you really need to, you can just get big and have them play at the same time. But I'm interested in basketball. I didn't think I'd be interested in Michigan basketball for a few years after football. Could they both be good? I'm predicting a football fall off, right? Milrow never entered the portal. I saw people baiting him, trying to say like if Michigan cheated, but he didn't really say anything. Which I was like, yeah, like what's he gonna say? Yeah, they knew the plays. They knew I was gonna run right up the middle, and they stopped me in overtime. Like, what do you say there? He did say that he could have passed the ball on that last play, like we talked about. But like I said, the linebacker was going out there, so even if his pre-snap read, if it was to see if the linebacker went with that guy and then run it because the low snap, like I don't think that play would have worked even if he did throw it, because I think that his read had to be the linebacker, and Michigan had the numbers in both the outside and the inside because the defensive line, or I guess the end, was it Stewart? He crashed the tackle in so hard that Alabama was at a disadvantage no matter what they ended up doing. But those are my only updates. I was hoping that the Canes would finish the game before we wrapped up the show, but hopefully they win. Thanks for listening. And if there's anything you want us to talk about on the show this summer, because I know there might not be as much, especially if some of our other teams get eliminated than we normally talk about in the summer months, let me know. Like I said, we'll be trying to bring you some new stuff. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.